This is Along the Way, a podcast showcasing the culture and meaning behind the For This Way, our values in action. In each episode, we will chat with people from across our firm for insights on how they bring our cultural DNA to life. These are the stories that make us one For This and that drive us to unlock the potential of all whom we serve. Without further ado, welcome to Along the Way.
Hello, and welcome to Along the Way. I'm your host, Mike Brothers. Today, we're talking about our unmatched client experience philosophy, or UCX. We have two guests with us today to talk about this, Chief Marketing Officer Greg Cole and Assurance Partner Michaela Matheson. Greg recently celebrated his 20th anniversary at the firm, and in addition to overseeing all of our marketing efforts, he's also taking a leading role in the continuing implementation of our UCX efforts. Michaela is based in Texas and has been with the firm for more than 15 years, working with clients in the nonprofit education and public sector practice. We've asked her to be a part of this conversation because she's one of the many Forbes professionals who currently have a 100 net promoter score from our clients based on our last relational survey. Greg, Michaela, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Mike.
Hi, happy to be here. Thanks.
So this is obviously a really important topic for all of us. And in fact, in some past episodes, we've talked with guests about each of the three core tenets of our UCX philosophy: listen to understand, be responsive, and consult with purpose to deliver value. We gathered some great insights and tips from those conversations. So I encourage everyone to go back and check those out if you haven't already. Those episodes are from February, March, and April. And then today, I really want to talk big picture. And in order to do that, I want to start with the why. So Michaela, maybe I'll start with you. You know, why is it so important that we have standards around UCX and focus so intentionally on this aspect of our business? And, you know, maybe another way to ask this is, what do we risk if we're not doing our best when it comes to the client experience?
Yeah, thanks, Mike. So, you know, why it's so important to have those standards around the unmatched client experience is really because it's what helps define us as one firm. It's what builds our culture. It's what the clients become known to trust and understand about us. And so ultimately, in summary, it's all about culture building from young staff coming up and understanding the firm to our clients. And so that's kind of really where it is. And if what we risk is, you know, in summary, unhappy clients if we don't show those standards.
Yeah,
well said, Michaela. And I would also weigh in, Mike, when Forbes was created, you know, when we came together and we sat down and talked about what was important for that forward vision, having an unmatched client experience was really paramount. And we literally put a KPI around it that we wanted to have a 76 and above as our net promoter score. If you look at the industry average in our accounting profession, it's 39. So being in the top 10 and 39, if we can go in and almost double that, that is really, really impressive and a great way to be known in the industry, to truly have that forward vision and to grow the firm and create opportunities for our folks. So it's exciting when you see that score come up, but it was very intentional. And it was one of the first projects we put together as four of us was getting that group together and creating this book that we could really lean on and use it as our coaching tool for accountability, really.
Yeah, and you mentioned the score itself, and we've touted that, and with good reason. So everybody's probably, you know, quite familiar with the fact that we have a net promoter score of 83 based on our most recent surveys. But I thought it might just take a moment, Greg, to tell us a little bit about how we actually arrive at that number. Can you give us an overview of our survey process, maybe for the folks who don't know how that works?
Absolutely. Well, I'll start with the process, then we'll talk about the actual net promoter score because it can be a little confusing. But we do four surveys a year. We do one relational survey at the end of the FYE. We go out and we survey our top 10,000 clients, which is about 82% of total firm revenue. So we get a lot of our clients, these larger clients that make up a lot of our revenue, and we survey the top contact at that organization, usually the CEO, the president, the owner. And we basically call it our relational survey, and we ask, you know, how is the relationship with Forbes? And then on so that's the first quarter of the year. And then afterwards, we do one every quarter we call the transactional survey. And that's based on an hours threshold, 100 hours of assurance, 50 for consulting, 50 for tax. And that's more based on the actual engagement. So how are we doing with the engagement we're working on? And again, we do those the other three quarters. We're usually a little higher in our relational survey. But net promoter score can be a little confusing because I think we're used to, if you think about it on a scale, a 9 and a 10 is kind of an A, and a 7 and an 8 is sometimes looked at as very favorable, also a B. Well, in the net promoter score, it is literally you take your promoters and you subtract your detractors. Mm-hmm. And so that is your net promoter score. So what we don't take into account are what are called passes, which are those 7s and 8s, which normally speaking, people would think, well, that's pretty good. But it's a theory created at Harvard, and we go with that. And that's the fact that really, if we want to improve our results, we need to get rid of the detractors, 6 and below. We need to move them up to a 7 and make them passive so they don't count against your promoters. And if you can move those 8s to 9s, your score can get really powerful. So again, it is a function of you take your promoters minus your detractors, and that equals your net promoter score.
Yeah, it's kind of a science to it.
Exactly. And it's been proven that if you can move those passes, because a passive treats you as a commodity, whereas those 9s and 10s, I mean, the question literally is, would you refer Forvis to a colleague? So one, you get a really great referral network there if they're giving you a 9 and a 10. And two, they're probably a great candidate for a case study also.
Yeah. Well, Michaela, you are one of the many people, as mentioned earlier, who've received very high marks in our client surveys. So I wondered if you could just tell us about your philosophy on UCX and what are some of the ways that, you know, you personally bring these standards to life.
Sure. So, you know, what's funny is I kind of was thinking of this question and summed it up to what I typically tell my kids now that they're in elementary school and learning and growing, as well as playing sports, and that, you know, they can only control certain things of themselves. And there's a lot of, you know, indirect things that they can't control that's outside of theirs. And I always tell them attitude and effort. And really, when you go into our unmatched client experience and some of our standards, that's the kind of things that I look to as well, is right, is how you can control your attitude and the effort that you give. And when you are with your clients, how you're listening to understand them, how you're being responsive, a lot of that, right? There's a lot of things that go wrong. There's deadlines. Maybe the client's non-responsive. Maybe there's other, you know, things that occur, that come up, but you can control your attitude and you can control your effort that you put in. And so those are the, I guess, kind of standards that how I bring to life and work is every day, you know, not all days are equally, but to the extent possible, right, is how do you control your attitude? What attitude do you bring to the table and what kind of effort do you give?
Yeah, very well said. Now, you've done this a while, so I just wondered, is there some way that you can tell or have learned to tell that things are not going so well or maybe starting to not go so well and know that you need to lean in and, you know, adjust that, you know, experience on your end to make it right for them?
So a lot of this, I think, kind of boils down to reading your audience or realigning. And so in the client service aspect of it, you know, hopefully you're discussing with your clients, you're listening to them, you start with a planning meeting or something like that. So you kind of set some standards, some expectations. So to the fact of, you know, when do you know it's not going so right? Well, hopefully you've set those expectations at the beginning to where you've all been accountable towards those. So you should know well in advance before it's not going right. And, you know, kind of in that same regard of my last question of that effort is, you know, one of our other kind of sayings in this unmatched client service book, that experience book that we have, is, you know, eat your frog or put the moose on the table. It's kind of speak up. If it's on your end of not emailing them what they needed the night before or that day, you know, say, I apologize in advance, but ultimately it's the effort that you provide in there of kind of knowing when it's not going right, is over communicate, or, you know, most of the time just being honest with them and being real.
Yep. I love it. And you both have such deep experience that I thought it might be interesting to think about, you know, what might have changed over the years in terms of client relations and client experience and client service. We often talk about how these principles are timeless that we've laid out, and I think that's true. But with the pace of change we see today, I'm just wondering if there's anything that's, you know, more important or simply just different than it was, say, 10 or 15 years ago. And Michaela, I'll start with you.
Yeah, thanks. So, you know, I do agree that these principles, they are timeless. They've been around for quite some time. Maybe, you know, one of the interesting things that have changed over the last several years is just the pace of the clients, of what's going on in the world, the economy, the hybrid methods now, is that you have to really sometimes put in more effort to build those connections, to build that client relationship that you have. A lot of times, 10 years ago, we were out in the field or had more events to where you could actually see in person or more times than not your clients and build those connections face to face, and also have your staff or others with you to build those connections as well. And so a lot of those are figuring out ways to continue to see them in person or to really just build that connection, right? Because it's about the culture that you bring and about the connections that you have with your clients and how they've grown to trust you, or how you stay relevant in their mind and things like that. And so I think ultimately, if anything's kind of changed, it's really just keeping that top of mind, keeping that this is all about, you know, personal connections, personal relationships, whether that be with clients, with staff growing up in the firm as well, you know, and how you teach them to build those connections with clients. And so that way the team is really that group that's building that net promoter score and building that client relationship to last a lifetime.
Yeah. Okay.
Great. Yeah. Answer. Really well said, Michaela. I like to say that we're in the relationship business, and what we sell is trust, and that this book gives us a foundation of how you can strengthen those items. I do want to remind people that this is as much internal as it is external, how we treat our people, how we treat each other. It's really crucially important. The other thing, Mike, I would say is I totally agree with Michaela on relationships, and the world has changed so much. And so how do you put that focus and effort into building relationships to build that trust? But the other item I call the Amazon factor, it's just people expect things much faster than ever before. And the example I always use is Amazon Prime. You know, even if you order it and it gets there in 3 days, you're upset, even though you didn't need it in 3 days. So that's why really setting good expectations and following through and great communication is really important here. So the world is changing at a fast pace, and we have to change with it. And I love what Michaela said about these being timeless. They are, but we always have to be having our eyes on the horizon, that forward vision, and making sure that we're modifying appropriately as well.
Well, speaking of horizon, I want to ask you, Greg, to shift gears a little bit and think about the future. What can we expect going forward in terms of some of the training and the firm-wide focus on UCX here in the near and medium term?
Right. Well, Mike, I cannot stress just how important that book is for our culture, for our organization. You know, it literally is the roadmap that we can all have for success. So whether you're a brand new staff coming out of college, not sure how to be successful, it's in that book. Whether you've been here for 10, 15, 20 years, you want to get better, it's in that book. Whether you want to build the team culture that you're responsible for, it's all there. So we're going to continue to double down on that. Now, I want to be clear here. We've kind of taken our foot off the gas just a little bit because of all the change on our plate right now. Mm-hmm. As you know, we've gone through Star Consolidation over the weekend, and there's other big projects on the horizon. So we're trying to be sensitive of the communications and frankly, the demands we're putting on our people right now. We feel like people understand the premise of the book, but we're going to continue to lean into client experience, CX. So UCX is kind of what we refer to as the book and how we perform. But CX is much bigger than that. It's much bigger than just a book. It is how the person answers the phone. It is what happens when you walk into one of our offices, you come to a booth at a conference. How do we treat our clients? And where I think we have a really amazing opportunity is we have this entrepreneurial spirit that drives the success of Forvis, but we also, that same spirit can create some inconsistency of service, and whether it be onboarding or different things like that. So we're trying to get our arms around, in a reasonable time frame, what does working with Forvis look like, whether it's assurance, tax, or consulting? So we're looking to build out a little bit of consistency. So that might look like client onboarding and making sure people are getting signed up for Foresights. It may be the client portal, making sure people have a really positive experience. That rule of first impression is really important. And that rule of recency also. So getting the bills out in a consistent way so that people can easily pay us. I don't know about you, but there's nothing more frustrating than having to call the cable company and deal with your bill or your invoice is wrong. So we want to make sure that we're really carrying this through from A to Z. So what we're going to be doing over the coming year is we're going to have a CX council made up of people who are really good at this, representing different disciplines. And we're going to get in a room every quarter and talk about how does this affect our clients? What we're doing, whether it be caseware or other conversions, how is this going to affect our client? How do we communicate with them and always keeping our clients top of mind? So we're going to have the council. We're going to be working on some onboarding items. We're working with Denny Art and his team on what that client portal looks like. And it won't happen overnight, but we're going to continually build in a process that is really focused on UCX through our CX experience. So a lot to come there, but we did want to be sensitive to the demands on people's times and just not put too much on people too heavily out of the gate here. But if we can do one thing as an organization, if everyone takes the time to read that book and really really takes it to heart and knows the why behind that, then I think you're going to see a better client experience for our folks. And the outflow of all that is growth. The book wasn't created for growth. The outflow of the book is growth because we are exceeding expectations in our industry that candidly does not do a good job here. So I love what Michaela said, you know, attitude and effort. If we come in that we're going to have the attitude and effort towards providing a UCX, we're going to grow through that. And growth creates opportunity for our people, which is really exciting.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay. So a lot coming down the pike, and that's going to be really exciting. So I want to give you all a chance to just offer up any final words and talk about any other resources available. Obviously, we have the book. Anything else that we want to mention, on Forefront or anything like that?
No, I mean, I know Greg mentioned the book a lot, but it truly is. There's a lot of really dedicated time and purpose into this book and the words used in the book to really kind of show our experience and kind of where our culture is and define us. And so I really would say pick up that book, take a look at it, read that when you have time. Other places that I like to go to and just see around the firm is our Bravo site to see how people are really living out these values, because a lot of times when someone gives them recognition, it's related to the standards within here. And so that's a great place, especially if you're just starting, is just go read through some of those to see how people are living out these standards as well. And so that's it. I'll sum it up again with, you know, there's a lot of change happening for everyone. And so having that kind of positive attitude to go in and say that, you know, in a mindset, you know, this is going to be good. I'm going to give it all I got. Is a great way to provide that effort into it. Greg.
Yeah. Great point on Bravos. There's some really inspirational stories in there. Key award nominations as well. When those come out the year, you know, make sure that you're recognizing people that are going above and beyond. And if I'm being really honest, by design, they were very simplified. I mean, three simple steps that you mentioned earlier, Mike, something that we can all do. If you're listening to understand, you know the needs. If you are being responsive, that shows that you care. And when you're consulting with purpose to add value, that goes a long way of really being that trusted advisor that we seek to be. There is a site, the CX Hub on Forefront. And you can get there off the marketing and business development homepage. And we have a leaderboard there of how people are doing on their, not only how many surveys they've gotten, but their scores, all the resources are there. There's an electronic copy of the book on the intranet as well. So really great resources there, but it is sitting on your desk. It is that book. And I know I sound like a broken record here, but man, there is so much power and getting people using that common vernacular that Michaela mentioned and really leaning into these principles. And if we do that, I assure you, it's going to be a better place to work. We're going to have a better client experience, and we're going to be part of something we can all be really proud of. And that's a pretty neat thing in my mind.
All right. Love it. Well, Michaela, Greg, it's been a pleasure speaking with you both about this. Thank you so much for being here. And thank you all for listening out there. We will see you next time.
Thank you for listening to Along the Way, featuring conversations about our purpose, mission, vision, and values in action at Forvis. New episodes are produced each month. If you have an idea for a person or topic to be featured, email us at communication@forvis.com. Please join us again for more in-depth discussions about helping those we serve unlock their full potential. Until our next episode, onward and forward.